The Monty Show coming in with a little Chris Cornell today. We can all woosah down now.
Just for a second, though, because when we get into these conspiracy theories today, it's not going to be good.
Okay, you don't want to leave because one of our non-sports topics today is crisis actors and the amazing...
Crisis actors.
The amazing conspiracy theories of the world. We got to talk Mark Cuban today. We got to talk Major League Baseball today. I think one of the truly great, awesome, amazing ideas to fix baseball has finally been put forward on the table. I'm
almost
excited about
as
that.
An offering.
And the Padres owner said something about Will Myers that shocked
that
me.
That'd be real.
And Jake's like, yeah, no big deal. That's how it was in
the
our
ball
clubhouse.
Bro. Let's go.
What is this? I miss Chris Cornell so much, by the way. If you're live with us on Periscope, find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You're not hearing this awesome jam.
This is Some Days by Audioslave.
Oh, I love this. I love Audioslave. I miss Chris Cornell so much. All right, let's get to the biggest story in sports today on The Monty Show. And I think that's Mark Cuban, sadly, because it is this Me Too movement. It is sexual harassment. It is everything that's wrong with the guy culture. And I don't know how to fix it. If you don't know the story, let me briefly explain it. A massive Sports Illustrated expose came out late last night that detailed serial, long-term sexual harassment and really tactics that made working for the Dallas Mavericks untenable for women. Some of the stories that we're hearing about, their president and CEO went to great lengths to make sure that every woman that he was around knew that he wanted to have sex with them. There is a story floating around that the president and CEO walked into a media lunchroom in American Airlines Arena and said, hey, what are you doing this weekend, to a young female employee? The female employee said, well, I'm going to the movie with my friends. And the president and CEO of the Mavericks said, no, you're not. You're getting gangbanged this weekend. I know you're getting gangbanged this weekend. It's that kind of thing on a daily basis. This all happened because nobody at the Mavericks would do anything to stop it. So female employees of the Dallas Mavericks started taking detailed notes. And one went to Sports Illustrated. They talked to over a dozen employees, past of the Mavericks. And the stories are just horrendous. Men openly watching pornography in the workplace. Again, the president and CEO sexually harassing women on a daily basis. The beat writer for the Dallas Mavericks at Mavs.com, two domestic violence incidents, and he was still retained and able to keep his job, even though because of these incidents, he was unable to go to Canada to cover the team in Toronto. They still kept him. Today, Mark Cuban comes out and says, well, I didn't know, and my biggest mistake was keeping this beat writer. I don't know how you wrap your head around the idea that Mark Cuban is not at fault for everything that has been laid out here. Mark Cuban is the owner of the Mavericks. He's a guy who is on the record repeatedly saying, I'm a great businessman. I'm involved in every facet of the business. Let's say just half of what we heard is true. Mm-hmm. Should Mark Cuban be allowed to own the team? Should Mark Cuban be suspended as an owner of the team? I mean, what does the NBA do here?
I would love to say that. I would love to see that happen. I would love to see Mark Cuban, $600,000 is drops in a bucket for the guy. I mean, let's be honest about this. And while we're being honest, I think it's more realistic to say that, yeah, he should be suspended, and there should be a review about his eligibility to own a pro sports franchise. I mean, that's really my feeling on it. And I think when you look at what happened here, this is a guy who is touted as being a guy who's hands-on with his business. He's involved
the
in every...
The best owner in sports.
He's involved in every aspect of every dollar that's spent on that organization. But when it goes negative, when it goes to sexual assault... Well, I didn't know about that. I wasn't really involved in that.
He pleads ignorance.
And so for me, I just don't see how You can't, on one hand, say, well, I'm best businessman ever, I'm the best owner in sports, and blah, 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 but then when sexual assault happens, oh, I didn't know that was happening. I had no knowledge of that. You damn well knew it was happening.
This was the president and CEO of the Dallas Mavericks.
15 years with Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
It's not like that he hired him 2 weeks ago and this was happening for a short term.
Exactly.
There's no doubt that he knew about this, and there's probably not a great way of proving that he knew about it other than this conversation right here, but I think at some point something's got to change. We're seeing this too often in professional sports now.
I don't know what you do. I think you have to – this the line in the sand,
yeah.
The moment in time, this is it. This is a professional franchise in the NBA in a major market in Dallas. The owner allegedly, and I'm not ready to convict him as guilty, the owner allegedly turned a blind eye to things. It was so bad that these female employees of the Dallas Mavericks said the players treated them like gold. It was the office personnel that were the problem. It's so bad that the president and CEO of the Dallas Mavericks resigned, unrelated to sexual charges, went to Under Armour and was fired within 2 months for alleged sexual harassment incidents.
Yeah,
it's
not as though this guy is viewed as an angel by anybody in the workplace. I mean, it appears to me that it's well documented that this guy was a degenerate on many levels, and I think, again, going back to Mark Cuban, you know, pleading ignorance, you can't do that when you knew this guy for probably 20 years at least of friendship and 15 years of business relationship.
Yeah.
You
can't. And he made Mark Cuban one of the most profitable franchises in the NBA and really in all of sports.
So you can't, on one hand, take the good, but then on one hand, not take the bad. That's not how it works. If he's your boy, he's your boy, good and bad. It's that simple.
I don't know that you can take the franchise away from Mark Cuban, nor maybe should you. I have no idea how severe this will get or what we'll know. I think Mark Cuban should step away from day-to-day operations of the Dallas Mavericks until this is cleaned up.
What would happen if Mark Cuban owned a small business, a shop, and something like this?
Oh, he'd be out of business. Just the allegations.
He would be out of business, and he'd likely go to jail for a certain amount of time. That's likely what would happen.
The allegations on their own.
Yeah.
Would put you out of business. But how has Cuban reacted to this? He has hired a former federal prosecutor and a law firm to do an internal investigation. He's fired his HR director. He fired this beat writer. He claims that he is going to completely change the culture in the front office of the Dallas Mavericks. And I just think it's too little too late.
But he's only doing that because he wants to cover his tracks and support the idea that he didn't know this
correct.
Was going on.
Correct. To me, and I know this is going to sound harsh, it's not the same thing, but it's the same way of doing things.
It's the same mindset.
As the Sandusky incident at Penn State.
It's the same thing as Baylor.
Thank you very much. Great example. At Baylor, it's the same thing. I mean, it is that ugliness. It is, hey, we knew Dr. Nassar was sexually assaulting gymnasts and female athletes, but we're not going to do anything about that. You chose to turn a blind eye because you couldn't let go of that paycheck. And that's Mark Cuban's biggest crime, that he allowed women and human beings to be damaged because he wanted to keep making money. And you just can't let that go. And at some point, as men, we have to admit, in culturally speaking in this country, we have a problem with women. As men, we have a problem not sexualizing every single female that we run into, especially in politics. And I always say this, pornography is the great destroyer of men. The state of Florida today refused to take up gun reform, but they have a proclamation that says pornography is a significant, you know, problem for society. And that it presents a significant risk to consumers of pornography. We're more worried about looking like, oh, we can't watch pornography.
We're more worried about image than people dying.
Oh, it's absolutely the truth. And I'm not trying to politicize this, but what I'm telling you is powerful men have a problem with sex. Donald Trump, Bill Clinton, go down the list. Tiger Woods, have a problem with sex. Men in sports have a problem, in my opinion, not only with sex, but violence against women. And it's this Dallas Mavericks story. A beat writer twice, it has two incidents of domestic violence and is not fired. What separates him from Greg Hardy, frankly?
The severity of the crime, that's it.
Yeah, I don't know how you explain this.
The thing is that in this country, we look at, okay, well, what was the severity of the crime? Did you beat her face in, or did you just slap her around?
Did she die? Was she severely injured? Oh, she's just got scrapes and bruises. The first domestic violence incident where I believe that the victim here of this Dallas Mavericks website beat reporter, I believe she had a broken wrist, and he was able to get that off of his record by going to counseling. Today, he said, oh, counseling completely helped me. And the most damning statement from this former beat reporter is he thanked Mark Cuban for supporting him through these two incidents, which forced Mark Cuban, and this is my opinion, I think the only reason Mark Cuban came out and apologized and said he said the biggest F up of my situation here is that I did not fire this guy. And it's like, man, would you have said that if he didn't make that statement?
The problem,
I don't think you would have.
Image-wise, Mark Cuban is not going to be able to really rectify the situation because he's behind the ball here. He's not out in front. It's not as though he made splashing breaking news on SportsCenter by firing a beat writer in his you know, vice president of basketball operations or whatever. He didn't do any of that. All of this took place, and now he's trying to mend. He's trying to fix it. He's trying to say, well, you know, I am a good owner. I didn't know any of this was going on, even though I'm involved in every aspect
exactly
of the organization.
Right. Exactly right.
And so he's not the best owner. For me, before this happened and before this saw the light of day, he was a loudmouth owner who made a lot of money. And he had a lot of power. I mean, that's really who Mark Cuban is. That's what he's known for, is speaking out again when he's not amused by something.
I really hope that he is suspended from day-to-day operations of the Mavericks. And what happens beyond that, Mark Cuban is a very powerful man. He's a billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
Shark Tank. Shark Tank should kick him off the show, in my opinion. You cannot reward this kind
You're not rewarding it. You're condoning it.
You know, and I think the word is, I think it's systematic sexual assault in the Mavericks organization. You allowed the president and CEO to routinely fondle women. There are allegations that he routinely caressed women's calves and put his hand on their upper inner thigh. Like, and this is okay in your organization, Mark. And there should be no penalty against Mark Cuban.
Yeah.
That's a problem for me.
It is.
A real problem for me. This guy shouldn't be on Shark Tank. I don't care if he's a billionaire. I don't care if he can seed fund somebody's great entrepreneurial idea.
Do it privately.
I don't need him on TV doing this. There has to be a penalty at some point, and I'll get off of my
Monty's high
my
pedestal.
Soapbox. I'll get off of my what do they call it where a pastor stands? Oh my, it went right out of my head. Anyway, I'll get off my altar or whatever it is, my pulpit. Thank you. My wife in the background says pulpit. I'll get off of my Jimmy Swaggart pulpit and just simply say, as men, we got to stop this. We have to. We're better than this as Americans. We're better than this as human beings. We need to treat women with respect. And if you're a millennial listening to this, I think this is one of the most important parts of your life right now. You're seeing so much sex impact you on a daily basis, on social, on Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. It's sex. On TV, it's sex. At the movies, it's sex. In music, it's sex. If you are a millennial, especially a male, understand that that's not real life. Understand that every woman you meet, you can't talk to their cleavage and be checking out their ass on the way out the door. Like that's, and I admit that I have been that guy. But I've never been the guy who says, well, I need to fondle you. I need to touch you. I need to... Like, can you imagine saying to a woman, hey, what are you going to do this weekend? Oh, I'm going to the movies. Can you imagine your answer to that being, no, you're not. You're getting gangbanged. I know you're getting gangbanged. Like,
it's despicable.
Who says it? You were almost the commissioner of the NBA.
Good thing almost doesn't count.
Until this wrecked your reputation. You were almost the commissioner of the NBA. And you let all that go so that you could harass women. Please, if you're millennials, change this. Because that millennial generation we always joke about on this show, Jake, you're a millennial.
Mm-hmm.
Your generation will determine the future of the world. And you have to change this. Okay, I'm done. I hope Mark Cuban gets suspended. Not that I'm trying to, you know. But, and see, everybody on Periscope and two people on Twitter are saying, welcome to Trump's America. It doesn't have to be Trump's America. It's your America. That's an excuse. That's a crutch.
It is. I mean, just because the president really has nothing to do with it, in my opinion. I think people are able to make their own individual decisions.
I think he powered the Me Too movement, though.
Yeah.
I think the grabber by the I think the Harvey Weinsteins.
I mean, he's, look, whatever you think about Trump, you know, the bottom line is he's empowered. He's empowered people, you know, through different avenues, whether that's
good and bad.
Outrage
good and
or,
bad. Yeah.
or positivity, yeah. You know. So, I mean, he's created change.
Yeah. Look, I just hope we, at some point, I hope we as men get over this sex thing. I hope we get past.
It's not getting over it. It's being held accountable for mistakes the first time it happens. That's the difference.
And this is going to sound really preachy. I probably shouldn't say this. But I'll say it anyway. We got to stop with the pornography thing. We have to stop bombarding young boys with sexual imagery that allows them to grow up and you know, she's so hot. Like, the first thing we as men do when we look at a woman is man, she's hot. Like, when's the last time somebody said, man, she's probably really good at conversation over a glass of wine?
That's not what it is.
No, it's never that. Like, it's never that. It's never that. Anyways, I should stop. Let's talk about a great change to Major League Baseball. After you find me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Rich Eisen floated something today on his radio show where he said, hey, I've heard that there's a new rule proposal that Major League teams trailing in the ninth inning, facing the opposition's closer, can put to the plate anybody they want in any order. If you want Bryce Harper to face, you know, Craig Kimbrel three straight times, knock yourself out. You can do that. And I love this rule because one of the problems we're facing in Major League Baseball is a lack of stardom. And I think it's one of those things to...
We got some Jesus talk on Periscope.
Yeah, we do. Weigh the truth in life. This is one of those things in baseball where we're facing a lack of stardom. And listening to MLB radio today, I'm a serious subscriber in my Toyota Tacoma. Buy American. in my Toyota Tacoma.
Toyota's powering the Olympics. You just need to know that.
I was listening to MLB radio today when we were jetting around town. And it struck me that they made a really good point. Mike Trout is a great player who's not a superstar. He's not a superstar. And why is he not a superstar? Because he's not out in front. He's not real charismatic. He's not a guy that you see doing Jeep commercials.
Who's
or
more of a star, Chris Bryant or Mike Trout?
Chris Bryant, because he plays for the Cubs, and they ended the drought with the GOAT, and they won a World Series. And Mike Trout, now this is going to blow people's minds, right? And we lived in Southern California for years.
Mm-hmm.
Anaheim is not a major market.
No.
See, Los Angeles is a major market.
L.A.
Anaheim is Orange County, which is not a major market. Well, and they did. And this is a real conversation to have about the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. They added Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, much to the dismay of the city of Anaheim. They play in Anaheim. They play right down the street from
right off the freeway.
Disneyland, right off the 57 freeway. I mean, they're in Anaheim. They're not in Southern California. And, you know, physically they're in SoCal. The Angels are in Anaheim. They are essentially in Orange County. They're because they just don't get that kind of pull. They don't get the TV budget. They don't get the TV time. Mike Trout is a fabulously talented baseball player, probably the best center fielder in the game.
So if in the ninth inning, if Anaheim is trailing, they would want Mike Trout at the plate is what you're saying. That's what you're getting at.
Oh, for sure. No doubt about it. And now you got a bunch of dudes on that lineup. Because frankly, and we've talked about this, the Angels have had a pretty nice offseason that nobody's talking about, right?
Right.
So you have guys, Zach Cozart is a guy that comes to mind. You have guys that can handle the bat and set him up.
Well, what about Otani? Best that's ever done it.
He's a pitcher, friend.
Oh, sorry. My bad.
As far as I'm concerned, and that's a conversation we're going to have, because by our house in Arizona, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim have their spring training facility.
Yeah.
So anyway, point is, listen, I love this rule change. If you are the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, now I'm being a jerk. If you are the Angels and you have Kinsler, Trout, Justin Upton, Albert Pujols, Ohtani, who are your three guys you're putting up there? Well, you're going to put Trout. Is Albert Pujols still that guy?
No.
Pujols or Upton?
Upton.
Pujols or Kinsler? Probably Pujols. No?
I don't know,
He's a 30 home run guy, probably.
We'll see about that.
I think he's there. I think Shohei Ohtani is a guy that I would put up there because he can rake.
He can rake in Japan. Show me you can do it in Major League Baseball.
You are not a fan of the Pacific Rim.
It's not that I'm not a fan of them. I'm a fan of guys who can come over here and prove that you can hit Major League pitching. That's what I'm a fan of.
If you are the Chicago Cubs, well, let's be honest. I am the Chicago Cubs. Did you know that I am on the roster, so it is my R and we?
Oh, okay.
The Chicago Cubs? I'm number 21 on the Cubs.
Sure.
My three guys, without question, would be Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, and Kyle Schwarber.
What about Bryce Harper?
That's next year.
Oh, okay.
A year from now, it'll be Bryce Harper because we will be paying him $40 million a year for 10 years.
And you'll be regretting that contract 3 years in.
Nah, don't think so. But I'm without question, in not any specific order, it is Rizzo, Bryant, and Schwarbs. Because Kyle Schwarber looks amazing, by the way. You're a Giant guy.
Yep.
Who are you putting up there for the San Francisco Giants?
Posey and Longoria.
And that's then somebody else. Like,
I mean, McCutcheon might get a sniff, but it's going to be Posey and it's going to be Longoria. I mean,
and I think it's probably Belt and Crawford.
At AT&T Park or on the road? That's the question. Because at AT&T Park, Belt's not hitting there. It's not happening. Not in the ninth inning.
Really?
Yeah.
So Hunter Pence or Brandon Belt?
Pence.
Pence,
dude, you're
was
not
terrible.
Going deep at night at
Pence
AT&T
was
Park.
Terrible last year. Are you kidding me? I think Brandon Belt, this will be his 25 home run season.
It better be.
This is his age 30 season. So he's either going to make or break right now.
Yeah.
And he probably is what he is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's interesting.
I like the rule change, the proposed rule change.
And again, the rule change is that if you are a major league team that is trailing in the ninth facing the other team's closer, you can bat the three batters you want to put up there, any batter you want to put up there, you can put up there. Forget the lineup card, throw it out the window. I love this thing. Love it. I think it significantly improves the game of baseball.
And the key is you're trailing. So this doesn't apply in a tie game, none of that. You have to be trailing against the other teams.
Absolutely right.
So, okay, one other caveat here then. What defines the closer? Because is the closer the ninth inning pitcher, or is the closer has to be a Craig Kimbrel kind of guy? And I'm not trying to play semantics. I'm being serious.
That's interesting.
I'm not trying to play semantics. Being serious here. Craig Kimbrel is a closer.
Yeah, like, you probably have to eliminate that caveat to get this. I think it's going to be really hard to get this rule in anyway.
Yeah.
Just because baseball owners don't like changing things. But I, you know what I like about this rule the most though? It brings personality back to the game.
Yeah.
You know, there's a
fun factor there.
TJ Oshie at the Olympics. Yes. Remember when he took like 57 straight?
Yes, and dominated them too.
It's amazing. That's what this is.
Yeah.
This is Mike Trout. This is, again, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo. This is the best of the best. This is
Bryce Harper in the NLCS this past year against Wade Davis. And this is Bryce Harper getting 9 outs to go deep.
Yes, totally agree. Totally agree. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I love that idea. I really do.
Yeah.
Real quick, I want to get to the San Diego Padres. Run me through your feelings
on... This is juicy.
This is juicy. Run me through your opinion on Eric Hosmer to the Padres. Because their owner said something that, frankly, surprised me. The owner of the San Diego Padres said, well, you know, we went and got Eric Hosmer because Will Myers was not the face of the franchise, does not want to be a leader in the clubhouse. Ooh, Ron Fowler, the owner of the Padres.
I think it's easy to blow that out of proportion. I think star players have to be leaders in this game. But just because Will Myers doesn't want to be a leader in the clubhouse, he doesn't want to fill that specific role in the clubhouse, doesn't mean that he's not a good player and a solid guy on your team.
Fowler said, quote, "We're hoping Eric is that guy, the face of the franchise."
He is that guy. There's no doubt about it.
"Myers has a lot of qualities, but he frankly does not want to be the leader in the clubhouse. This is just not in his DNA. If there was a player who was more positive about us going after Eric than Myers, I don't know who it would be." End quote. Ron Fowler, the owner of the Padres.
Right.
That doesn't sit well with me. I don't know why that doesn't sit well with me, but when I'm painting a guy... Now, frankly, they got a real nice deal with Will Myers. They haven't really paid him
yet. There's a mystique about Will Myers. People think Will Myers is a star in this game. He's not quite there yet. He is not a star yet. He's still trying to grow into
that. He's 27.
Well...
Again, and I buy into the age 27 season... is make or break for baseball players. You're either going to be Brandon Belt, or you're going to emerge and you're going to be a great Mike Trout, Bryce Harper, Chris Bryant, the best of the best. Is Will Myers the best of the best?
No.
In your opinion?
No.
Will he ever be?
No.
Wow. You don't think he'll ever
be
a linchpin?
He's not the best of the best. Eric Hosmer is a better baseball player than Will Myers is.
155 games, 30 bombs, 74 RBIs, 30 doubles.
RBIs got to go up, and the only way they go up is by adding talent.
But so you're going to say what I was going to say, which is I don't think it's his fault that his RBI totals are low.
It's not his fault that he's only in the 70s for RBIs. I mean, to get RBIs, you got to have guys on base in front of you. The home run number is nice. 30 bombs at Petco Park, that's a nice number, man.
But I don't think that, and this is just my opinion, I don't believe that adding Eric Hosmer is like, oh, now he's a 100 RBI guy.
No.
Will Myers.
Because
not how this game is going to be played.
No, what you need to get to 100 RBIs is you need to do what the Diamondbacks did and sign a guy like Dyson, who's a speedster and plays defense and, you know, is a slap hitter, essentially. You need a guy that has a high on-base percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a decent average, probably a .280 hitter. And you need a guy who can steal 30 bases for you. And that's what Dyson is. They don't have a Dyson on their team.
Freddie Galvis.
Yeah,
Freddie Galvis is a nice player.
Galvis has a nice pop, but he's not Dyson.
312
sure.
On base, 17 bags. With 312, you'd like to see that go up, and hopefully it does. Chase Headley, I think, is
Chase
a nice
Headley's
reunion.
A power bat.
It's a nice reunion in San Diego. But, I mean, you're probably looking at Will Myers, and I don't know, to drive in runs from the three hole, you have to have your seventh and eighth guy, your number seven and eight hitters get on a lot.
Right, but Will Myers isn't a three hitter. Will Myers is a five hitter.
No,
yes.
Stop.
He is.
Will Myers is a power bat. I think you're
the
vastly underrating him.
The five hole is a power slot.
No.
Eric Hosmer is a 3-4 hitter.
I think he's a 4-hole hitter. He's a cleanup hitter. And I think that's probably, in my opinion, Will Myers should be 4. Hosmer's your best offensive player now. He should be hitting in the 3-hole. And this is a philosophical thing. I'm not telling you you're wrong. This is just that philosophical discussion of how do you build a lineup. My opinion is you build a lineup, your best pure hitter is 3 and your best pure banger is 4. And then I think your best RBI guy is 5, right? So your best back control guy.
The problem for them is Will Myers is all of those until you got Hosmer.
Well, Chase Headley can be that. Chase Headley can be a 5 hitter, in my opinion. You know, what is Freddie Galvis? Is Freddie Galvis a 2 or an 8? He's probably
an 8, depending on how you build your lineup. If you're of the Joe Maddon belief that the 8-hole is a leadoff hitter, or the 8-hole is a pitcher and 9 is leadoff hitter, then, I mean, that's probably where you put him, but... If you're running a traditional lineup, I would agree. He's a 2-hitter or he's an 8-hitter. But my point here is that they need to add more speedsters. They need to add more slap hitters for this to really work out.
I think they have that. I think they're not going to be – they're not going to contend in the West. They're going to make life difficult. Going to San Diego just got a whole lot more difficult. Yeah, they're a solid team. I would agree with that. So wait, just to recap. The whole leader in the clubhouse. So you played college baseball.
Yeah.
Is it to have a leader in the clubhouse?
It's important, but it's not. I'm not going to slight Will Myers' on-field performance because he doesn't want to be a leader on a team that hasn't won. It's not his fault they haven't won. And I think a lot of being a leader on a team is your willingness to take the, you know, the social media press beating when you're getting slapped around in the NL West. And that's what he's had to deal with. And I feel like they got him thinking that, well, you know, this guy is the face of our franchise now. And he just hasn't panned out to be that. And I give them kudos for recognizing that and going and getting Hosmer. But at the end of the day, I don't hold that against Will Myers. Not every player is cut out to be a Bryce Harper for the Nationals. You know, yeah, he can hit 30 home runs. That doesn't make him a great leader.
But look at the NFL. How are you going to triple tag Kirk Cousins? Like pay him $20-plus million dollars a year? Kirk Cousins doesn't strike me as a guy that's going to lead the line. You know, he's not
quarterback in an NFL. He doesn't have a choice.
Who's running out in front of Tom Brady? Nobody.
Yeah.
Who's running out in front of Kirk Cousins? A bunch of people. A bunch of dudes. Right? Like, if he goes to, and I hope he doesn't because this is death. If he goes to the Jets, they're never going to win. In my lifetime, I don't know that the Jets will win a Super Bowl. And I'm not even halfway through my life, I don't think. I'm 45. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl by the time I'm 100.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are the Browns? I don't think so. Are they, like, if you're Kirk Cousins, if you truly want to win and you truly want to lead, don't you go to Arizona?
Yeah.
I think you do. So I look at somebody like Will Myers. If Will Myers doesn't want to lead, I just have a bad taste in my mouth, I guess is the way to say it. Is he there at the trade deadline? Depends on the year they have.
He should. You signed Hosmer. He should. Will Myers should stay. I mean, that if you're going to build that team back up, Will Myers needs to be on the team.
Does him playing the outfield hurt his bat?
No, I don't think so.
Boy, that'll be interesting. I think it will. It's a totally different regimen. Now, he's going to have the entire year to make this change, right? Like, he's going to have spring.
It's not as though he's playing in some difficult field.
He's playing right field at Petco Park, and he's a phenomenal athlete.
He is.
And he's played out there in the past, so you're probably right. That's mitigated a little bit. I just think it's an interesting.
Yeah, it's not great if you're Will Myers, it's not great that you're the owner of the team is saying that you don't want to be a leader. But I think on the flip side of that, yeah, he's very happy they got Hosmer because now don't be surprised if his numbers go way up because he doesn't have pressure on him anymore. Because all the pressure is off Will Myers now. The pressure is on Hosmer to make that contract good.
Is he that guy?
Hosmer?
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No question about it.
Okay. I like it. Real quick before we get to people in really nice cars hand-holding their phones.
Right.
Lindsey Vonn.
Mm-hmm.
She essentially ended her downhill career last night. She won bronze in the downhill in Pyeongchang. And she bawled like a child. And I almost bawled right there with her. Like, it was really... And usually when somebody on TV is emotional, my wife is the one who cries. She wasn't crying. Like, I was a little misty watching Lindsey Vonn let her soul...
Well, you appreciate the sacrifice and the discipline it takes to get to that point.
Correct. What did you think of that whole thing? Like, I never thought it was a disappointment that she got a bronze last night, but there's a lot of people saying it was...
I didn't feel like it was a disappointment. I felt like, you know, for her age and how much she skied and what she's had to go through physically,
Oldest woman to ever win a medal in Alpine.
I'm not saying it's because she's old. I'm saying it's because her body is older than she actually is. I mean, when you think about all the injuries she's been through, I mean, she's been through hell and back, and to be able to finish out your career on your terms. Yeah, she probably wanted to get a gold. That's neat and everything, but that wasn't going to happen with the talent that was there this year for the Olympics. So to get a bronze, I think that's a nice outing for your last outing ever. I don't know what more you could ask for.
Not to completely take a left turn,
mm-hmm.
but we just got an update on the JD Martinez deal in Boston. There is no deal. JD Martinez agreed in principle to a 5-year, $110 million contract with the Red Sox. And Evan Drellich of NBC Sports Boston reports that there is a holdup in the contract, and it's about logistics in the review of his medical history. They're concerned that he is not healthy enough to sign this contract. There was a belief that Martinez would have his deal done with the Red Sox officially announced today, but Drellich says that the finalization will not come until at earliest Thursday. There's something wrong. This feels wrong. this feels wrong. So now JD Martinez is in no man's land. And if you're an Arizona Diamondback fan, you're putting a hit out on Souza. What the heck? We heard about this earlier today, and everybody said, oh, no big deal, no big deal.
Yeah.
They're talking about, like, Friday, Saturday, maybe.
This is so strange. I mean, please don't tell me. I really hope it doesn't come out that homeboy was riding a horse and broke his wrist that nobody heard about in the offseason. This is why he can't sign a deal.
Yeah, apparently. That's a little freaky.
It's weird. You don't hear about this very much. I mean,
this has got to be the most bizarre. Because
you have to be healthy to sign a contract.
Yeah, you cannot. You can, but it's very rare that a team will sign you to a 5-year, $110 million deal with an injury.
Yeah.
It's odd. And then there's Miguel Sano in Minnesota, and he's
fat.
Wait,
did you say Sano or Pablo Sandoval?
Exactly. Twins GM Thad Levine noted this week that Miguel Sano, quote, brought a generous carriage into spring training. I love baseball. I do.
Only in baseball, man.
I do not love people talking on the phone in their car while holding that phone in their hand. And this is becoming quite problematic in this country. I don't even know how to explain this anymore because, I mean, I want to understand this, and somebody needs to help me understand this because clearly I don't get it. We drive a lot, and we routinely see people in cars like Lexus, Mercedes-Benz, BMW, holding their cell phones in their hands. On the freeway this morning, there's a guy in a CL class, I think a CLA, Mercedes-Benz.
CLA 250.
Holding his iPhone in his hand. Somebody help me understand this. Why are people not able to use technology properly?
You drive a Mercedes-Benz, a new probably 2-year-old Mercedes-Benz, and you can't use Bluetooth?
I have a Toyota Tacoma, brand new. I just got it a month ago or 2 months ago now. You never talk on the phone with my hand. You drive a Fiat 500 Abarth. And it's got a crappy Bluetooth system, but you still use it. Right? And it's a stick.
Yeah.
I think this is really weird.
I just think it's funny that, like, is it a hipster thing to hold your phone in your hand while you drive? Is that, like, the cool thing?
I think it is.
Like, I just don't understand it. Like, why? Why would you pay all that money for that car, a Benz? And we see it in Lexus, like all the German brands. You see it, but like,
so how do you fix it?
You do what California did, and you ban it.
Okay, what does ban it mean? Like,
you can't
is this
have
a
your phone in your hand while you're driving the car? It's that simple.
I think what's the penalty? Do you lose your license? Do you
after 3 times? Yeah.
So it's a 3-strike cell phone ban.
Yes.
We spend a lot of time in both Arizona, Los Angeles area, California, Salt Lake City. There are no worse drivers than those that talk on their phone while holding it.
Well, because you're not driving at that point. You're cruising along, not paying attention.
Yeah. It drives me. It absolutely drives me. My driving skills have not gotten better. I'm going to admit, I am routinely pissed off at people driving around me. Like, I honk just to honk now. I honk for stress relief. Right? Like, that's the point that bad driving has gotten to.
Right.
And whether it's California, Arizona, Utah, the UK, like, there's so many cars on the road. You have got to stop doing this.
Well, the best one, and really it's the worst one, is the guy who's on his phone and tries to run the green arrow light. You know, it'll turn red, and he runs it, and you know, there's a buffer there. Like, you could probably get away.
Is there, though?
When it turns yellow, if you're 3 cars back, you can get through. But if you're that 4th car, you're not getting through without getting
so torn. Okay, wait, let me make sure I get this right, officer friendly.
Yeah.
That there is, when the light turns yellow,
there's
if you're the first,
accepted,
second, or third,
there's an accepted window there where you can run the light.
Does it matter what you're driving?
No.
Does it matter
the light.
Who's driving?
No.
Because that drives me crazy. I also, one thing that I've changed, and I hope you back me up on this.
Yeah.
I do not sit in the middle of the intersection while waiting to turn left.
Well, and that's just smart. That's really smart. Honestly,
I don't do it.
You don't do it.
Because I've seen too many.
And I try not even to. I only go as far forward as I need to be able to see. That's it. Like, you don't need to sit, like, in the middle of the intersection.
Okay.
You don't need to do it.
Am I a good driver?
Yeah.
Are you a better driver than I am?
I think you're impatient as hell.
I am way impatient. Way impatient.
Yeah.
Am I a better driver than you are?
Sure.
Am I a better driver than my wife?
I don't drive with her very much, so I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
She never gets, like, she harasses me. I'm a terrible not driver. Like, I'm a terrible passenger, as you know.
Right. You're paranoid.
Yeah, she's way better about that than I am. Like, she's a much better passenger than I am.
But we're both better passengers than you are.
Okay, that's true. I'm a terrible... just let me drive.
Yeah.
That's all there is to it. Let me drive and let Jake say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake. The call, I'll send.